I'm going to be reading Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20, if you would like to follow along. Otherwise, you can just listen as I read. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the field and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. This next reading will be out of Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. "Now muster yourselves in troops, daughter of troops. They have laid siege against us. With a rod they will smite the judge of Israel on the cheek. But as for you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel. And he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will remain, because at that time he will be great, to the ends of the earth. This one will be our peace."
Mike read earlier the passage from Luke chapter 2, which is such a familiar passage, telling us, giving us the sense of the Christmas story. I'd like to just take a few minutes here just to lay out some thoughts for you to maybe center your Christmas on tomorrow. I'd like to talk to you about this theme, because it really was the theme of Christmas. Maybe many didn't see, and quite possibly you haven't seen. And it is the return of the glory. Return of the glory. When God revealed himself to Israel, what would you say was the most important thing? What did he want her to know about him? Many today would say, well, that's an easy one, his love. He loved the world. Well, it's true. It's true. His joy, right? We sing in a little while, we're going to sing that song, "Joy to the World." Yes. His peace. It says later on in Luke 2, "Peace on earth." Listen, those are all important, but the most important one that all of them are based on, all of them are based on, is glory. Glory. I think we understand glory a little bit. We do understand glory. The story of the shepherds is really the story of the return of God's glory. Give me a short definition. What is glory? Glory. There's so many things we could say about it, but you know, here's one definition. It is the fullness of you. Every person has a particular glory. It's the fullness of you. It's your identity. It's who you are. And so we speak of having glory. We speak of actually getting glory, people wanting to get more glory, making a name for themselves and so forth, wanting other people to recognize, you know, maybe their greatness or something like that. It's the fullness of you, then. You know, the problem was, and you can understand why the Savior was sent. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall what? Short of what? The glory of God. So there's a certain kind of acceptable glory that we all fall short of because we're all broken people by our sin. And so though you might have a glory, it's a glory that always falls short. And God, in sending Christ, was doing something in that He was sending His glory. It was returning. Now to understand that really well, to really get this, to be drawn, you've got to be drawn here to Luke 2:8. I'll give you a few little nuggets here, and then I want to draw some things to your attention here. It says, remember, these shepherds were out in the fields, and they were keeping watch over their flock by night, and this angel of the Lord appears before them, and it says, and this is the key phrase, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Why is that so significant? I'll tell you why. Really doesn't become hugely significant to you until you understand the history of the glory of God. The history of glory, of God's glory. The history of God's glory, if glory is the fullness of who you are, then when we talk about the fullness of who God is, we're talking about something much greater than who you are. In fact, the Bible, when it describes God's glory, describes brightness or such brilliance that, like with Moses in Exodus 33, he said, I can't allow you to look upon me lest you what? Die. You can't look on my glory. It's so bright. It's so great. It's so incredible. You'll incinerate. You'll die. You'll be destroyed. Too much brightness for you. You can understand this because none of you on a beautiful sunny day would dare to go out and do a, hey, let's do a stare at the sun contest, right? So you can do it the longest. It would just be the dumbest thing ever, right? Wouldn't do that, and yet that ball of light was placed, hung, the Bible says hung there by God. In other words, He has a brilliance to His glory that you and I can't even survive. See, why is that important thought? Consider this history of glory from the garden. Adam and Eve were made. That glory was pure. That pure glory was enjoyed by Adam and Eve, and they didn't need to be protected from it because they were living in perfection. What's really interesting is when it says that they sinned. And remember where it says at the very end of Genesis 3, after they sinned, what the Lord did. He said, "You must leave the garden." Now, was He sending Adam and Eve out of the garden because He wanted to punish them? No, that's not the reason why He sent them out of the garden. In the garden, it says there, was the tree of life, where if you ate, you would live forever, it says there. In that garden was the glory of God, where if they, in their sin, would have come back into that garden and stayed there, it would have been greater than looking directly at the sun. It would have killed them. Would have killed them. So God, in protecting them, sends them out of the garden, away from the glory, into a different direction, where He's going to provide a means for them to be brought back to this glory in a safe way. How? We fast forward to Moses, where the tabernacle, He gives them plans for a tabernacle to be established and set, where the glory of God would come down. Remember, they had the ark, and the blood was poured on there, and the glory of God came down as a manifestation that I accept this blood to be a symbol of forgiveness of your sins, of accepting you. And so the glory of God was there in the tabernacle. We saw with Solomon, we see Solomon in 1 Kings 8, the glory of God coming down after the temple was built, and Solomon dedicates it to the Lord, and the Lord, in a statement of acceptance, that He accepts this building made for him, though he cannot be contained, he says in 1 Kings 8, there in the temple, The glory couldn't be contained there. The glory still comes, and it fills it, and there's thickness. It is it's immense. Fast forward to Ezekiel, and we see the people of Israel rebelling and sinning against God, and therefore, Ezekiel chapters 8 through 11 says the glory did what? Left the temple, left Jerusalem, left the building. Again, a statement, God is not with you. It's not for you. Whew. No more glory. Now watch this. The glory of God would not be seen. The presence of God would not be seen. The glory of God would not be seen again until now. The shepherds. Shepherds. God could have brought his glory to the king. Could have brought his glory to important people. And by the way, we have two occurrences of the glory of God coming down. One was with the shepherds, another one was when Jesus transfigured himself before three disciples. And the glory in a physical manifesting way hasn't been back since. Glory's coming. Now, so you have these shepherds and you have the glory of God. It says in there in Luke 2, 9 that the Lord shone, the glory of the Lord shone around them. Hadn't done this before. These shepherds knew their Old Testament. They knew, whoa, something that hasn't happened for over 500 years is now happening. The glory is back. The glory is back. So who are these shepherds? Oh, just only the lowest people in Israel. First announcement of the birth of the Messiah is made to the lowliest peasants in Jewish society. These were people that had no skill. Children could become shepherds because he didn't have to go to school. He didn't have to do anything. He just go shepherd sheep, and it was a fairly easy job from the standpoint that it didn't take much. It was low pay. There was no education was required. Worse than that, these people were considered the lowlifes of religious society because their job demanded a 24/7 care where they couldn't go to church, so to speak. They weren't a part of the, you know, they couldn't even honor the Sabbath because they had to be out doing their work and their duty. They were dirty, always breaking the Sabbath. We find out later that they were people that they didn't even trust. They didn't trust these people. They weren't even allowed to make statements in the court because their word wasn't trusted. They were despised people, low life people. In fact, actually, 6 miles outside of Jerusalem is where they were in these. What would happen is that they could, when they needed sheep in the temple, for the sacrifices, they ran out. They would just go find whatever shepherds were out there. And if they were within a jurisdiction that was nearby, they'd just grab their sheep. Here they were tending sheep that were being used there in the temple for sacrifices, the very symbol of the coming Messiah. So what happened to them? Why them? God brought the glory back to the most unlikely people, the lowly, the peasant, the one that would have no problem with humility. So what was their message? It says here, you will find a baby wrapped in clothes, right? And it says, by the way, and it implies that people were looking for the glory, okay? People were looking for the Savior. A Savior who is Christ the Lord has been born. By the way, they're never told to go find him. They're saying that if you bother to look, that's where he's at. Nowhere in here does the Lord say, go get him. They do it on their own. They do it out of a heart that overflowed with the desire to see this glory of God. Now, let me bring us all the way back here. What was their message? So they go, and remember the angels come, and they begin to sing, and they say, glory to God in the highest. In other words, hey, The glory's here. Give him glory. Praise him. This is exciting. This is good stuff. They go and they find Joseph. They find Mary. They let them know. They tell them everything that was told to them. What was told to them? What was their basic message? It was this. Hey, Joseph. Hey, Mary. This baby was born. Well, you need to understand the significance of this baby being born. And it is this. The glory's back. You know how the glory of God has been gone for 500 years? It's back. It's back. The glory is here. Listen. And they realize that the glory is a person. Because the glory is a person. John 1, he tabernacled among us, dwelt among us. The glory is a person. Christ, the Savior, our Lord, is God's glory. So what should we learn from this? Three things that our lives should be like theirs. We should first confess we are spiritually poor like the shepherds, right? Let's do that this Christmas. What a great Christmas you'll have if you do that. Don't think of yourselves beyond these shepherds, right? Don't do that. We're all just lowly like them, aren't we? It's not me. I'm a hardworking man. Whoa, whoa, time out. Here's your glory. Here's the Lord's. You need it. Second, we should send the glory back like they did. It says at the very end there, verse 20, the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen just as had been told them. So, we should glorify and praise God for sending Christ. Right? What a time we have. We get to remind each other of that here. And then thirdly, make sure this Christmas you truly have confessed Christ as Savior and Lord, right? What a time you'll have if this is you, this is your heart. Praise the Lord. We get to enjoy singing songs like this together, remind ourselves that Christ the Lord is born. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word. The glory is back, Lord. And we know, Father, that the Lord Jesus left, and with him, the very manifestation of your glory, Lord. But at the same time, we get to taste of that glory, Lord, by knowing you. And we know someday the glory will come back again to reign on this earth. And we're excited about that. And in the meantime, Lord, we just want to serve you and love you and live for you. And thank you for reigning in our hearts, Lord, through Christ Jesus. And we now, Lord, just want to, as we sing another few songs, Lord, and then bring our time to a close here, we just want to remember you this Christmas time, this Christmas morning tomorrow, Lord. And we want to, as we think about your glory, Lord, remember that apart from you, your glory would not be safe for us. But because of Christ, we can come near. We thank you, Lord. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.